Hey, Eddie. Psh. We really have to lower our voice.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's 3 a.m. We still have a horrible jet lag.
But the good side is we're having pizza.
In today's episode, we tell you how to successfully launch a ransomware attack on a hospital of your choice. This is the InfoSec Podcast with Sebastian and
Eddie the InfoSec Frog! Episode 2! Hello and welcome!
Today is the 21st of August. I guess after this intro, everybody in the house is now awake.
Yeah, DEF CON is over.
Yes, unfortunately, but we already checked out the flights for next year, so we hope we will see you again. Eddie, is there anything we need to tell?
Yes, we went to Area 51 with a real OG Dodge Challenger in black, and we went to the back gate to the famous mailbox. Oh, we can upload a picture of me sitting on the mailbox.
Yes, this is really cute, and of course we can do this. And we met the Camo dudes. Those are, for everybody who doesn't know, those are the guys who protect Area 51 in white pickup trucks, and they are really freaking ready. So, yeah, we met them, and I wrote a song about them.
Oh, yeah, for all who missed it, Sebastian Blight as a singer in a metal band, and yeah, it's not always very nice for our ears. Yeah.
I got the job and now I have to write some lyrics, and Camo Dudes, bored Camo Dudes is, I guess, a good topic.
Hey, don't bully the poor man.
Bullying, that's a good point, because two episodes ago, so in one of the German episodes, Eddie complained how he had to travel to Las Vegas because I put him in a vacuum bag and I sucked out all the air of this bag and he was a bit flat and hardened.
Pretty stiff, and it was an awful, awful trip.
But on the way back, he had his own seat on a plane, and yeah, there's a really cute picture on Twitter, Eddie_InfoSec, where he had to go through the x-ray machine at the airport. Just have a look.
Oh yeah, I'm really cute on this picture, and of course in general too.
As we already mentioned, we have an awful jet lag. Yesterday we slept till 3 p.m., now it's 3 a.m., we did not sleep, and yeah, we really have to reset our internal time zone setting. By the way, setting and updates, update your Apple device now.
Oh, I guess after the episode, it is still good enough.
Yes, but after the episode, go to settings, general software update, and do it.
Okay, let's move on to the main topic.
Yes, and our main topic for today is security in hospitals. We want to explain to you how you can hack a hospital. So if you want, we want to give you a step-by-step guide if you want to do a ransomware attack.
And a short refresher, ransomware is maybe a Trojan or a worm that encrypts files, and then it charges you money. So this is pretty much what it is. You heard of it.
Yes, of course you did, because an attack like this is always big news.
Yes, and at DEF CON we had the chance to connect with people who have a lot of experience in this specific field.
Yeah, and we were allowed to hack into a medical device, which was a lot of fun. We discussed all the issues with fellow pentesters and hackers and with professionals from this industry. And yeah, we are now connected. We already sent some messages back and forth. So great conference.
Oh, and first of all, my big question was, if you pay the ransom, will they give you the key? And the maybe surprising answer is, yes, they do. Because the ransomware industry has a very nice and helpful customer service, so to say.
Yes, and in the US, the insurance company does the negotiation with the attacker. But in some jurisdictions, it is not allowed to pay the ransom. Before we proceed, we need to give a big shout out to Eric Luras. He was a speaker at DEF CON and he's an absolute nice guy and a professional in this specific field, an expert in IT security. And he gave me a medal, a little solid thing. On the one side, it is blue for blue teaming. And on the other side, of course, it is red. And it says, exploiting vulnerabilities to defend patients. And it's a nice little thing. And it makes me a bit proud.
Yeah, for everybody who doesn't know, he is not very good in accepting compliments and stuff like this. So, yeah, we need to proceed, I guess.
Yes, let's proceed with our step-by-step guide how to hack a hospital of your choice. And maybe there are some out there who say, well, I don't want to hack a hospital, or, well, I don't have a hospital. So it doesn't matter. This applies to everybody. The first thing you need to do, and all the attacks we discussed at DEF CON started like this, is you have to do some phishing and some malware.
Yeah, basically you have to trick somebody that clicks on a link that he or she is not supposed to click on.
Yes. Be creative. Try to get some credentials. There are public lists for stuff like this. Just check out dhash.com. Do some phishing. Check the DNS records. Look for services. Be creative. Maybe you find some Microsoft 365 stuff. Maybe, yeah, you need a malware builder. Just Google it. Find somebody or find something. Do your own research. Pretty much, if you want it, you can do it. And again, be creative, do your own research and hide your traces and you will find a way. It just takes some time.
Yes, because if you have so many people working for you, it is really hard to protect your infrastructure because everybody is a potential chance to get inside the network.
Let's talk for a second about Eternal Blue. For those of you who never heard about it, it is an exploit developed originally by the NSA. They stockpiled it, they did not report it to Microsoft, and then they lost it and it was leaked by a hacker group called the
Shadow Brokers.
Shadow Brokers. And it was also used by other states. For example, Russia used it against Ukraine. Maybe you heard of some attacks like WannaCry or NotPetya. Look it up. It is like a Bond movie. It is, it's a very interesting story behind it. And from a technical perspective, this thing is really stable and it is quick and it can affect the whole network.
Yes, and pretty much every Windows version is affected by this vulnerability, if not patched.
Yes, and patch level is an issue with hospitals because they are not patched on a regular basis. They have to keep up their service 24/7. They have to stay online. There's lack of stuff and you don't want to ruin the machines. So those machines are pretty much computers, Windows computers, a lot of time. And if you do an update, maybe they die and they are afraid. So they just keep it running.
So now let's combine our first step that somebody clicks on a link he or she is not supposed to with this information about Eternal Blue. The first thing the ransomware software does is it tries to be quicker than the antivirus, because if it is quicker, the damage is already done. And if there is no antivirus, it doesn't even have to be quick.
And now Eternal Blue comes into place, because normally normal ransomware would stop here. But even Eternal Blue and the patch is out for years. There are still a lot of machines that are not patched at all. So Eric explained to us this is the reason why a lot of hospitals are such easy targets. So if you combine your malware with Eternal Blue, it doesn't stop at the computer that was infected in the first place.
And for this, it uses the SMB protocol, which is a protocol that is used for file sharing. So if you have a drive on your computer where you can put on files and somebody else can see it, this is pretty much what we're talking about. And SMB is a very old protocol, and some versions, they have some security issues, And this is what Eternal Blue is pretty much using.
Yes, and that's all you need to do. So one victim is enough to infect the whole network. You did it. So ask for ransom or find out if they have a backup they can restore. That is everything you need to do
if there are not some security measures in place.
So Eddie, why is this possible?
Well, there are a few reasons for this. The first thing is there are no restorable backups. So hospital means a lot of data, and a lot of data, if you want to restore it, means a lot of errors. And a lot of times backups are pretty much useless. The second thing is the patch level. You already mentioned it. Most of the stuff is not patched on a regular basis, especially those medical devices. They don't want to restart it. They don't want to break it.
And another thing that is worth to mention is we said that it doesn't stop at a machine that was infected in the first place. So if all the machines are in the same network and there are no VLANs or no segmentation at all, everything is connected to this machine. So it's like your own pandemic, if you want. So Eric mentioned another problem, which is the insurance companies in the US. If you are responsible for the security in a hospital, you can have an insurance. So if something happens, they will pay and yeah, you are out of liability. But the issue is, or maybe it's even a good thing, because insurance company in the US had to pay so much for ransomware attacks that they put it on their policy that you have to have some safety measures against those attacks.
Yes, the message is insurance cannot compensate the lack of security measures.
Yes, but it's the same here in Germany. I attended an IT security conference and it felt a bit like The Price is Right. So the first speaker gave kind of best of cyber attacks and tried to create some panic. And the target group was the head of the IT in hospital. And the guy was so absurd. All the scenarios were so absurd. And he was confused by the terminology and everything was a virus. So there was a big lack of competency and it was kind of more like a insurance salesman.
Yes, and none of the stuff he mentioned would stop an attack.
So what can you really do? What can protect your hospital that something like this cannot happen to it? And first thing is backups. Backups that can be recovered. That's the only thing that can save you when something goes terribly wrong. And ransomware is not the only thing that can happen to your system. The next thing, Eddie, is
patching.
Do it. Patch everything.
Yes, but patching is not enough, Eric said.
Yes, use CIS benchmarks to harden your system too. So this pretty much means switch off legacy protocols, set up some password security and a lot of other stuff. Check it out, CIS benchmarks. And the last thing is network segmentation. We already said Eternal Blue doesn't stop at a computer that was infected in the first place. So if you do some proper network segmentation, it just can infect the computers in this one segment of your network. It does not infect everything.
Yes, you can make it stop.
So my suggestion is think about how close are those machines to the patient? Well, if it is just a machine, a laboratory that doesn't have any direct contact with the patient, put it in one network, but put another machine that is a robot that does an operation, put it in a different network, which is even more protected. Be creative, but separate the stuff.
And if you're not complaining why we are saying all this stuff, it's already out there. The only difference here is the frog.
And of course, it is easy to get in, but it is also easy to protect everything. So you already have plenty of time, but if you still were not able to fix it, do it now. And if something happens, it's your fault alone. You are responsible for the network.
Hey man, and if you are responsible for IT security in a hospital and you have an insurance, but you never heard of WannaCry, Eternal Blue, how it could affect your network and how everything is interconnected, look for another job. Instead of spending money for the insurance, if you don't understand it, you will never protect your network.
And with these words, we say thank you and goodbye. Thank you for listening. Check us out on Twitter, @Eddie_InfoSec. And you can listen to us next week on Sunday. Goodbye. Stay safe.
Goodbye.